Turn your Bibles over there to Psalm 61. And I'm going to read 1 through 4 in just a moment. But I really want you to understand that I'm speaking on a subject, finding the shelter of the Lord. Finding the shelter of the Lord. You may want to think in your mind, well, why would I hunt for the shelter of the Lord? Because the Bible declares that I'm sheltered already. But I'll explain to you just in a few moments. I'm here today, standing, to give you some truth that'll help you every day of your walk with God in every area that you may be going through and the struggles that maybe you go through the week. I guess I could title this message also, Interruptions with Difficult Interpretations. Interruptions with Difficult Interpretations, and you'll get that in a moment. Because I really believe that what we need to have every day in our life is the sense of God's power in our life, God's love in our life, God's direction in our life. So again, in Psalm 61, finding the shelter of the Lord, or interruptions with difficult interpretations. The Bible is very clear, starting with verse 1. Hear my cry, O God, attend to my prayer. From the end of the earth I will cry to you. When my heart faints, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For you have been a refuge for me and a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in your tent forever. I will seek the refuge in the covering of your wings. David has fought the Syrians twice thus far. The first time that he fought them, it wasn't a good outcome. And this is the second time now that he's gone to war against the Syrians, and he won the battle. But it was very difficult. Can you relate to that in your life? Is there some times in your life where you go through some real struggles, warfare, if you will? Some times of great difficulty and you don't know how to understand the interruption that comes into your life. You don't know how to interpret it. And then things get better and you're going down the road of your destiny, if I can put it like that. And you find yourself then again in struggles. Something that happened that you hoped would never happen. But you win that battle. Boy, but it was a struggle. It was difficult. It was a hard hill to climb or a hard mountain to get across, or the river was a little too wide or the ocean was a little too deep. But you got to the other side and you thank God for it, but you're tired, you're weary. And so David is crying out to God here. Right now, he is saying something to God that's very important that we need to attach ourselves to today as Christians. Speaking to God in such a way. This could be you saying this beginning prayer in Psalm 61 to God. This could be you saying, hear my cry, O God, attend to my prayer. You know, many, many times in my life of prayer, I've cried out to God in such words. Attend to my prayer. Hear me, God. I need to hear from you. Things are tough right now. Yesterday was great, but somehow today it's turned out different. This is not what I thought would happen today. I have faith. I'm so full of faith, God, that I feel like I could just move a mountain right now. But I need you. I need you. Don't ever take for granted that because you have a true belief in Jesus Christ and a true faith that's dynamic and full, that you believe God can do anything because nothing is too difficult for the Lord. You believe in prayer. You believe what you ask in Jesus' name is going to happen. You trust that whatever you pray, as long as you pray in His will, you will receive those things. You trust that your heart's going to be guarded by the peace of the Lord Jesus Christ. You believe that. You trust that when you lay hands on the sick, they're going to be healed. You believe that when you ask God to help you get through some struggles and some times of pain, that God just shows up at your front door and doesn't even knock. He just comes in and fixes everything. You believe that. But then there's these times that I'm going to preach about in just a moment. I feel like preaching this morning. I told my wife this morning, we're not doing PowerPoint today. I'm going to go back to the old school preaching. But I just want you to understand there are times that show up. And this message is not to take us from the pattern of faith that I was told you that we'd be speaking about this year, but to prepare you that when things show up, you know how to handle it. You know what to do. You don't fall out. You don't give up, give in. You don't make that lustrous statement that is so away from God. The statement says, "You don't love me anymore, do you, God? Have you forgotten about me, God? Why am I going through this, God? I am someone who loves you. I care for you so much. I pay my tithe. I go to church. I mean, I pray. I tell you what, God, this can't be right. Can we start this day over again?" But let me tell you, it happens where things go differently than what you may have planned for the day. You see, and many seek sanctuary from the weariness and struggles of life. Life is a struggle. There are times of great weariness. But that shelter is found only, the shelter we seek is found only in the rock, Jesus Christ. It's found only there. You cannot find shelter from another human being in the times I'm talking about. You can only get shelter from God, from the presence of God, from His beautiful caring and love that He puts on your life and how He overshadows you and He's there. You can't get that from human beings. You know, you can dial every number in your contact list. You can text everybody you know. You can say everything you want to say. You can describe your problem to the T. Every I is dotted and every T is crossed. And, you know, you can explain it in everything. But there is no answer that's going to help you accept the answer that God brings to your life, and that is being sheltered there with Jesus. And that rock is stronger than any human being, and it's higher than we are. You know, this rock I'm preaching about today, you can't get there on your own. It's too high. You can't get up there by your own. The only way you're going to get to this rock I'm preaching about, are you with me today? The only rock, the way you're going to get to this rock is by God lifting you there, is helping you get there. You know, there are too many people that try to get to a rock. You know, I've seen people go hiking. I've heard their testimonies. I've gone hiking. Not as much as a lot of people go hiking, but I've gone hiking and I see how high it could be. And I see sometimes when you're up there real high, out in areas where you can be in Colorado and or up in the mountains and in the Santa Cruz Mountains where you could come to an end of a cliff and you kind of get close to the end and you look over. You know, that's not high at all. I'm talking about a rock that you can't get to. You can hike all day. You can hike all month. You can hike for the rest of your life trying to get up there. But God is going to bring you up to where you need to be during this kind of struggle. The prayer for the king had to be eternal. And speaking of the reign that Jesus Christ has, that will fulfill and perfectly give to the Son of David, Jesus Christ. That's what we have to understand. There is a time in our life we come to where God will want us to get to that rock. Because we forget about the rock. We forget that when we were in the miry clay, Because we envision in our mind this miry clay being sin and degradation and revelry and the parties and all the stuff that we did when we lived in the world. And you that were born in the church, thank God for you, but you still had to get out of that clay. You still had to give your heart to Jesus Christ. You still had to be brought up. And he took you from that miry clay. Now, if you relate that back to the Old Testament, they were in 430 years, they were in bondage in Egypt. Towards the end of that bondage, they were not getting all what they needed to make the bricks. And so they were in that clay, trying to get the straw mixed with what little water that they had and the other essence to bring it to where they could make bricks. And they were stomping this out. They were covered with mud. And they're using this analogy, this comparison, to say that God reached down and pulled them out of the miry clay. He delivered them from this difficulty and this pain, this anguish in the heat of the desert, in the arid area where this was located in Egypt. They were sweating. There is a taskmaster's whip on their life. And what I'm trying to do is give you a picture of what you live like when we were all in sin. The taskmaster's whip was on our back. We were covered with the filth of sin, the filth of this world, if I can say it like that without being offensive to people. But it's the truth. But God reached down one day because you cried out to him. And he lifted you up out of the miry clay. And what did he do? He set you on a rock and established your goings. He gave you a new direction. You see, repenting means that what you're doing is when you repent, you turn totally around. To give you an analogy, if you're heading south in sin, when you give your heart to God, you're going north now. Same east and west. David said that when the Lord comes into your life, he separates our sins as far as the east is from the west. We're clean. We're clear. You know, when I get my car washed sometimes in those fancy car wash places and I pay that big money to have them do all that stuff, I know as soon as I get out in that street and that highway, it starts going away. In other words, what we've got to be careful is that rock he sent us on and put us on and established our goings, that we need to stay out of the way of the world and not allow ourselves to attach ourselves to these things. We need to stay close to God and understand what he has given us is something that we can embrace, engage, and live by. Establish our goings, and he put a new song in our hearts. So when we praise God, we're singing a new song. And the reason that we're doing this is because others will see it and hear it. They'll see our walk is different. They'll hear our song is different. In other words, what we confess, what we believe is different. Are you with me this morning? Yeah. Literally singing, and they will see that, and they will fear the Lord. A good fear. And they will want to know. They will say, how can I get out of this miry clay myself? I'm weary. I'm struggling. Help me. You see what I like to say today in Psalm 91. In one, as you know, Psalm 91 is one of my most famous and thankful and one of my most incredible, embraceable psalms in the Old Testament that I just love to read. There's 18 blessings in 16 verses. But I just want to read the first verse to you this morning. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. You got to dwell in God to get underneath the shadow. You can't just be in the shadow and not dwell in God. Too many people want to just live in the shadow, but they don't want to live the Word. They don't want to live like what God says to live like. They don't want to be a people of God. Those that praise him openly and publicly and everything. You know, every time I meet people, I slip in there that I'm a pastor. Some folks say, you shouldn't do that. You know, I had a guy come by my home yesterday. I got two brand new puppies. They're getting big now. They're 58 pounds and 60 pounds. The Irish Setter is 60. The Golden Retriever is 58. The Golden Retriever is 7 months, or 8 months. The Irish setter is 7 months. I got Finnegan, who's 6 years old, you know, and she's kind of leading the pack as the mother of these two. Well, this guy comes walking by yesterday with his child on a bike, and these dogs go absolutely bark crazy. You know, and he comes up to the gate, and I walk down there. Man, I said, man, I'm sorry, these dogs. He said, it's all right. And, you know, and my dogs are trying to get through the fence to bite his dog. Now, you have to understand, his dog is 7 months old, and he's an African strain dog. His history and genetics come from Africa. He weighs 115 pounds, and he's 7 months old. And I'm telling my dogs, stop it, because if you get through, it ain't going to be pretty. I'm talking to them just like that. Of course, they don't understand English. I think they do, but they don't. They understand me giving them a biscuit, but they don't understand English. And he says to me, how much does your dog's weigh? And I tell him, I said, what's your dog weigh? He said he's only 7 months and he weighs 115 pounds. When he's full grown, he'll be 225 pounds. And I'm thinking, you guys better be quiet now because there's a bigger boy on the street. Okay, you understand what I'm saying? And they're going like crazy. They're barking and they're trying to growl and they're showing their teeth. And his dog is mellow. You see, we need to have that confidence that no matter what the devil wants to do to us. Now hear me spiritually. When he comes after us like a roaring lion, looking to whom he may devour, we should just be at peace. Do you know why? Because we're going to outgrow the devil. We've already outgrown the devil. We weigh more than the devil. Amen. We've got more power than the devil. And we don't have to worry about anything. So that devil is literally coming and roaring at us. We need to understand that we abide underneath the shadow of the Almighty. So I tell the guy, you know, I'm sorry about this. He says, no worries. Don't worry about it. How are you doing? I said, I'm doing this. You know, he tells me how much he paid for his dog, which was a lot. And everything, and he went through all this whole thing. And I said, you know, I'm a pastor, and I just want to let you know that I think that everything's going to work out. The dog's going to get together. I just slipped that in there. He kind of looked at me like, where's that coming from? I just planted a seed. As Christians, we need to plant seeds in people's lives that we let them know that we are sold out to Jesus Christ. Yeah. That, you know what? I just love God. I think He's wonderful. And I think God's going to take care of everything. I believe that. But there are days, I'm bringing you back around now. I believe there's days where we wake up and it sounds like nothing good's going to happen. I mean, it sounds like, oh my gosh, what am I going to do? You see, when times happen, they are overwhelming and they're exhausting. Then that is the time to rise in prayer. Things happen in your life. I'm not going to go through a list today. You do your own list. Things have happened in your life that you did not want to happen. You didn't want it to happen. It's just, it happened. And sometimes you have to deal with it for a long period of time. Sometimes you don't. But the thing of it is, these things that happen cause such difficulty and struggle in your life that it takes you to a place that you just don't want to be. And you need to cry out to God. Take me to the rock that's much higher than I. But what you're saying to the Lord from our side is, God, I can't handle this. Would you admit that this morning? I cannot handle this. I need you, God. I know a lot of people say, oh, I can take care of it. Don't worry about it. I can handle this. It's all right. No, no. You know, would you just simply admit it that you cannot handle it? I can't do anything without God. The Bible's very clear in St. John chapter 15, verse 5, that we are nothing without God. Nothing. We can't do anything without Jesus Christ. We can't even begin to minister without Jesus Christ. I remember when we had our first ministry in Santa Cruz and all these college kids were there and they were first year Bethany College students, and they came into our ministry and said, we're going out to the parks to minister to the homeless. And I said to them, do you know the word? I said, no, but I got my Bible with me. It's all right. I'm just feeling I need to go out there. They came running back 2 hours later One was crying, the other one was shaking, and the other one was saying, I'll never do that again. I say, what's wrong? They said, they knew the word better than I did. They know more about the Bible than I do. When I told them about Jesus, they started tearing it up with scripture. I'll never do this again. I told them, you didn't hear me. You cannot go out lest you know him. And you can't go out lest you know the foundation you're standing on. And you can't go out lest you know how to fight against the enemy's lies and his treachery and what he roars like a lion to destroy you. You need to pray. I want to tell you today, the declaration of prayer is so important, because it takes you to a shelter and a protection that only prayer can give you.
Right.
Only prayer. I've met so many people. I've met a lot of people in the kingdom of God that come to me and say, you know, I just wish I could pray like you. And I'm in my mind, I said, well, I'm not looking for that statement. They say, I just don't pray. I just don't get on my knees. I just don't pray. You know, let me tell you something. The best place to be is on your knees, leading, serving, and declaring is on your knees. Understanding that there's a God in heaven that's waiting for you to cry out for him. He wants to help you. He wants to simmer down the boiling waters of life. He wants to give you a look in life that's more brighter, more secure, and more alive in your life. You've had something happen that has caused you struggle and pain and difficulty. And the way out is to confess to God, you are my refuge. You are what I need today. I don't need anything else. I don't need a phone call from my best friend. I don't need a phone call from my pastor. I don't need a phone call from a bishop. I don't need a phone call from anybody. God, I need to call on your name, and I need to hear your voice, and I need you to speak into my life.
Right.
He'll bring you close. Now, I say that today, and I knew it when I put this message together leading up of the Holy Spirit. I knew when I said he'll bring you close that people wouldn't fully understand that. He brings you close where nothing else matters around you. There's this sense of peace that surpasses all understanding. There's that grace that you sense wraps its arms around you. And mercy becomes something that's understandable. And you're in the throne room of grace. And I know a lot of people just read that scripture. Enter into the throne room of grace boldly, that you may obtain mercy and grace to help in that time of need. They just read it, but they've never been there. You know, there's a lot of people that look at God like he owns Disneyland. God owns a cattle on 1,000 hills, and God is God, and he wants to help his children. He wants to bless his children. He wants to be there with them and guide them and strengthen them and keep them under the shadow of his wings. He wants to shelter you there. He wants to keep you safe from harm, and he wants you to find rest in his presence. There's so much unrest today. Unrest in what people believe. Unrest in who's really God. If Jesus is there, how come I'm not healed? Let me tell you something. Can I say something to you? Very simple. Please hear my heart. If Jesus healed everybody, everybody would come to church to get healed, not saved. If he healed everyone, I would love, these hands have touched hundreds of people. Hundreds of people have been healed. But there are times, and I'll tell you, when I was preaching in Goshen, California, when I was younger, in a revival there, and I was having a great revivals all over California and Nevada, young man preaching, and people were getting healed everywhere. I went to that revival, and no one got healed. It blew my mind. I felt lost. I didn't know how to handle it. I had to go to another revival in Santa Maria the following Sunday. ending Saturday night, driving to Santa Maria, and starting Sunday morning and Sunday night. I had to be there for another week, and no one got healed in Goshen. Now, you think about that if you read what Goshen means in the Bible, where everything was right for Goshen. That was where they lived in Egypt. That was where the Israelites came and were able to stay there in Goshen, and everything was blessed. No healings. I even used that with God on the way down to Santa Maria. God, I was in Goshen. I talked to Sister Ruth Steele, who was there. Great woman of God. And I said, Pastor, I'm just a young man preaching. I'm in my 30s. Believe it or not, I was 30 at one time. Yesterday. But anyhow. Thanks, Will. And so, basically, I just went ahead and I asked her, you know, I was it, and I wanted something really spiritual. Have you ever, this is what I'm trying to, am I helping anybody today? I'm going to tell you what, sometimes you just want this spiritual answer to come. You want it like heaven, you hear the sounds of glory, the bellowing of God's voice. And you just feel like God's about to say something to me, and it's going to be spiritual, and I'm going to be all free. I said, Sister, and I explained to her about Goshen and what happened. I mean, altars were filled every night. No one got healed. What's going on? What do you think's happening, Sister Steele? We're sitting here at the dinner table. And she looked up to me. I was waiting. This was it. This is the answer, because this was a woman of God that has a testimony of hearing from God. I mean, seriously, a testimony of hearing from God. She goes, God just wanted to show you who was boss. Bam. You know, I believe God wants to use us, but sometimes we get ahead of God. Amen. Sometimes we get to a place where we think that we are doing everything for God, but I'm telling you, we end up doing everything for ourselves. And we have to understand that God is the God of our salvation. We wouldn't have anything if it wasn't for Him. We wouldn't know what to do. And we find testimonies of people with great faith in the Bible seeking God. Now, David had great faith, but he fell one night, ordered Bathsheba to come over to his home. He killed her husband. He was living now at a place where he felt that he had grown, where he doesn't really need God. He was just that important. And Nathan comes by, tells him the story about how, what would he do if someone took that beautiful ewe lamb, took that lamb, and that was the most beautiful lamb, and it's the only lamb that person had. David said, I would take care of that. I'd kill that person. I'd go after that person. In other words, I'd make sure that person paid for it. And Nathan stuck out his prophetic finger and said, you're the man. And what you find David doing next is seeking God in prayer. You see, sometimes if we're traveling down this road called Christianity, if we're traveling down the road of our destiny, sometimes it's not easy to do, but it can happen, and it happens a lot, is that people get ahead of God. They make decisions without seeking God. They get to a place of saying, you know, I'm feeling pretty good about myself. I'm pretty mature in God. I'm just going to go ahead and do this now. And all of a sudden, they find out that what they needed to do was stop and pray. They needed to come to a place and seek God. Moses was against the sea. There was 2.3 million people there. There was the fire by night, by day, and the cloud. There was all this going on. All that was happening. And Moses goes to God and prays, God, help me. What am I going to do? And you know what God said to him? Why are you praying to me? You should have all this together. Take that staff. In other words, take the staff representing Jesus Christ. Hold it up to your future. Hold it up against the impossibilities. Hold it up against something that you know can't do by yourself. Lift up the name of Jesus Christ and see what I can do. And my friend, let me tell you, when you pray, the first thing you do is lift up the name of Jesus Christ. You declare his name and you give him praise and you give him honor, because that's where the answers are found. That's where we find him in such a great way. We find that shelter, that pavilion, that protection, and we find strength through prayer. You find that all of a sudden this inner strength starts going on in your life, and you're able then to understand, even though it may be harsh what just happened in your life. Something has happened that was so difficult to handle, but you literally stood strong and you prayed for hope and favor that God would show you. You prayed out and you may have even spoken it. Jeremiah 29 and 11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans of welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. You're thankful. You know, I believe if you pray, and I'm trying to help you, there may be beginning in prayer or learning how to pray or what to say when you pray. Pray the word. Pray the word. Get to know the word and pray the word. You can quote God. God, I say this to God all the time. God, I want to remind you of what you said in Psalm 91. I want to remind you that no evil will befall me and no plague will come near my dwelling.
That's right.
So I cast out every bit of sickness from my home. Amen.
Amen.
And any evil that comes my way, get out. In Jesus' name. You say, Pastor, you're not that radical. Oh, yes, I am. I've thrown the devil out of my house. Get out. Get away. You have no power here. Get out. You may roar, but it's nothing to me. Because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Back off. I will seek you in the morning, in the afternoon, and the evening. I will seek you 7 times a day. I will praise your name, Father, that the glory of heaven will hear my voice, and I will join with the angels as they sing praise unto you. I love you, God. There's nothing too difficult for you. There's nothing that you cannot do. And Lord God, if you wait upon answering this prayer, I'm going to have faith that I have prayed, and I'm going to put my face in the word, and I'm going to take that word and I'm going to place it up against my heart, and I'm going to hold it dear to my heart, knowing that God, you have committed to me a promise that cannot be broken. I'm going to walk in the safety of the presence of the Lord my God. I'm going to walk in his presence. I'm going to know that 1,000 may fall to my left and 10,000 come to my right, but they shall not touch me. I will join with that honor roll of the saints in heaven, knowing that faith declares prayer, and prayer declares faith. And when prayer and faith engage one another, God brings a hope into your life and a future that the devil or people cannot take from you, and any struggle that you may have disappears.
Right.
Are you with me? Is anybody with me today?
Yeah.
What did Jesus say in John 10 and 10? Let me read it to you. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. That's your friend, the enemy of our soul. He wants to kill your plans. He wants to destroy your hope. And he wants to steal your blessings. Jesus said, I've come to give you a life, and that life more abundant. I want you to look at your heart right now. I want you to look into your heart, and those looking on the stream today, I want you to look into your heart. Are you living a life of spiritual abundance? Are you trusting God that what he has said is real in your life, and you're walking with that anointing? You're walking with that confidence. And when you seek God in your home in the morning, or at the altars at a church, or driving down the road on the way to work, wherever it is, or out in the parking lot at lunch from work, wherever it is where you pray, do you believe God for spiritual abundance? Because that's what he's talking about. Having a spiritual abundance that literally claims the beauty of all things. You know what I want you to do? I want you to don't look at the storm anymore, but look at the deliverance that God is giving you. Don't look at the storm. Don't look at it. Don't let these interruptions that come into your life not have any interpretations. You can interpret what's going on in your life through prayer, through embracing God's word and having faith in a king that saved you, that gave you all that you need. You know, I like what it says in Philippians 3:12. It says this, not that I have already attained or am I already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that which Christ Jesus has laid hold of me. In other words, he's already got you and you're pressing on to lay hold of Jesus Christ. You're pressing on to be part of what Jesus wants you to be. He has designed you. Everyone in here has a design from God. We are not all the same. We don't look the same. We don't have the same destiny. They may be similar things, but God has a personal destiny for you and a personal destiny for myself, and he will take us to that destiny if we'll have faith through prayer.
Amen.
We need to learn to cast all our cares upon him because he cares for us. Casting every care. The word casting in the Greek means that you literally take all this stuff on you and you throw it with all your might right out there for God. Casting all your cares on God. Don't let a care pull you down. Don't let things worry you. That's the problem with a lot of people. They worry instead of having faith. They worry instead of praying. They get fearful because they don't spend time with God. When you're in the presence of God, there is nothing to fear.
That's right.
We need the David anointing. Sometimes that problem is a Goliath before us. You need to take out your faith and take out your stone. You need to take out the element to whip that stone and throw it at that Goliath. You need to get that from prayer. You need to believe God is going to help you and he's going to take you. I like what it says in Proverbs 18 and 10. Now I'm closing now. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous man runs into it and is safe. Runs into it. You can't run into it till you begin to pray, till you begin to seek the face of God, till you begin to know who you are, your identity in God. And the only way you find that out is spending time with the Lord, spending time in the Word, understanding the Word, memorizing Scripture. And lastly, it's so important that you fast. Prayer and fasting helps.
Yes, it does.
Prayer and fasting are cousins. They work together to bring you spiritual depth that you're not going to find just by hanging out and getting somebody call you on the phone and say, I'm praying for you. Let me tell you something. I get phone calls all the time, pray for me. I get text every day, pray for me. And I love that. And I pray for everyone that texts me. I pray for everyone that calls me. When I pray for people that don't even know I'm praying for them. I don't call people up and say, hey, I'm praying for you. I don't do that. I've got a prayer list that has over 650 names on that prayer list, and I'm calling out their names. And you know what? There are people on there that I just pray for that I met just one time, but the Lord spoke to my heart. Pray for them. Amen. Pray for them. Because prayer opens the door for God to bless you. Fasting brings into your life this humility. It takes your soul to a place to where you can hear God better. A friend of mine was fasting on his 40th day. Nothing was happening during the fast, but on his 40th day of fasting, he looked at somebody and they were up at the altar and they were blind. And he said to them, in the name of Jesus Christ, I believe your eyes are going to be open right now. And the blindness left them. You say, well, I don't know if that's true or not. Let me tell you something. I'm not going to say his name because I don't want that name out there. But he literally did that. 40 days. He called me on the phone. He said, he used to call me Denny. He said, Denny, let me tell you something that just happened. All this fast, I've been praying that God would do a miracle. And on the 40th day, the last day of my fast, a blind person came to our church and they're walking out and they can see. Let me tell you, we have to understand there is power in a relationship with Jesus Christ. There is power in prayer. There is power in fasting. There is power in the Word. And there is power in dwelling within you.
Amen.
Let me close with this scripture. And I hope today, somehow, some way, I reached into your soul to help you, into your heart, to help guide you, and into your mind, that you would be able to renew your thoughts about prayer and how they relate to faith, how fasting relates to prayer. And together, you can conquer mountains. The Lord is my pillar and my fortress and my deliverer. Psalm 18 and 2. The Lord is my pillar and my fortress and my deliverer. Let me read that again. The Lord is my pillar and my fortress and my deliverer. My God, my rock in whom I take refuge. My shield and the horn of my salvation, my high tower. I believe that covers it all, don't you?
Amen.
Every bit of it. That's who he is to you and I today. That's who he is. And we need to learn every day to find shelter in the Lord. It's important. It's important to have a pastor. It's important to have a friend. It's important to have a prayer buddy. It's important to have a prayer group. It's important to have certain committees or certain ministries that all join together and they pray and help one another. But there's a time. There's a time. There is a time. Now hear me, there is a time where God wants to take you to the rock that's much higher than you. You can't get there by your own. You take all your buddies, all your committees, all your special ministries, you take your pastor, put them all together in one room. You're not going to get to that rock. The only way you're getting to that rock is God is going to reach down and take you up there. The only way you're going to get God's attention is through prayer. Acknowledging him and caring for him. I want to challenge each of you today in my closing that you will find a place to pray every day and you will seek the face of God. And from seeking that face, you will find him and you will get the desires of your heart because you've prayed in Jesus' name. He loves you. He sent this message today to you that you would hear what God wants of your soul and your heart. He has a love for his children. And the only way to get to this rock is through prayer. Bow your heads with me today.